Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings. Just want to greet you this day and Talk Block Radio. This hour is called the Midnight Cry, the time of the restitution and restoration of all things. We acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ and his soon coming. And we acknowledge the Midnight Cry, which is the last warning for the bride to get ready to meet the bridegroom. Preparing to meet the bridegroom, the Christ. This is the awakening call, ambassadors for Christ. We are the Church of Christ with Elijah message, and we have this message as spoken in Revelation 14 and 6, a last warning and awakening message would come. And so we represent a people that have received the angel message, the last call, Revelation 14 and 6, 18 and 1, Zechariah chapter 2, the one that's called Branch, the Elias, the messenger of the covenant. We're here to declare that the Lord has fulfilled his promise and his scriptures. And fulfilling the revelation, in Revelation 22, he said, Jesus has sent my angel to testify of these things. So we're receiving the testimony of the last angel messenger spoken of in scripture. Now we expect everyone to test it. We ask everything that God claimed to say, people need to test it. 1 John chapter 4 said, test every spirit, every revelation, every prophecy, whether it be of God. So you may test it by the scriptures, Malachi 4 and 5, Malachi 3 and 1, Matthew 17, verse 9 to 13, Matthew 11, Luke 7, Acts chapter 3, verse 18 to 22. These are a few of the scriptures talking about the final warning as in the days of Noah. Remember, Jesus told us it'd be likened unto his coming, prior to his coming, would be like unto Noah. So today, in the name of Jesus Christ, we offer this broadcast for the glory of God, for the kingdom of God, and the blessing of the nations. They might know that Jesus Christ is Lord, the King of Kings is coming. Make ready. So we're glad to have this moment in the history of God's planning. I'm Brother Lee out of the Windy City, Chicago. Hallelujah. And we bless the Lord Jesus, for this is the day, the hour the Lord has given us. We will rejoice and be glad for it. Thank God for the blood of Jesus that redeems us, and the last messenger, Elias, and the last great revival soon to come. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit has never been since there was a world. We're going to see the move of the Holy Spirit to gather the great harvest of the earth. Hallelujah. And he talks about this last third wave of the Holy Ghost, the third wave in Joel chapter 2, the former, the moderate, and the latter rain. And we're going to see this Pentecost in three measures as it was Elijah, the prophet of old. So, beloved, we are going to tonight share a few things. And one of the things we are going to clock in tonight, angel messenger that has been bringing the midnight cry to a people and to a scribe was Apostle Dre's Independence, Missouri, and Otto Fettings. When he passed away. Now we read you part of what the messenger has spoken, and it brought all these many years to one America and the world, and together Israel unto himself. Let's read, hallelujah, the angel's warning in these last days. Now, many of you don't know, in the book of Revelation, the first three chapters, Jesus Christ himself appears. And then chapter 4, Then from on to the end of Revelation of John, John talks about these things shall shortly come to pass, and that he wants his people to understand those things in the Revelation. And they're not to be kept in secret, but he's to unfold and reveal all concerning the end time warning and preparation of his people and the gathering of the redeemed unto himself and the house of Israel. Hallelujah. And making ready a bride, pure and ready, holy for his coming. Now, as you have read the revelation of John, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ given to John the Apostle on the Isle of Patmos. And there's things that seem to be scary symbolic. Part of it is symbolic. Some of it is literary. And some of it is prophetic future. And most of it is, in John's day, was projecting to our end time, what we call the last generation, the church age, the closing in the kingdom of God. Jesus himself said, Matthew 24, the last message prior to his coming, when the disciples inquired of him in Matthew 24, he says, when are you coming and when is the end of all things or end of this age? And Jesus began to give them signs that would occur prior nearing his coming. And he stops with the final sign in Matthew 24, I think it was 12 and 14. He said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, all nations to the ends of the earth, and then only shall the end come. So before that, he also spoke about a major sign, and the three major signs of restoring of the gospel, which is called the restoration of all things. Now, he says the gospel has to be restored in its purity and fullness in these last days. Because, you know, branches, since the apostasy of the church, who happened to 1260 days, and from the Martin Luther recovery down to the Wesleys and Spurgeon, Dwight Moody and Billy Sunday, and Dwight, then Edward and different ones, down to Alexander Dowie, like I said, Spurgeon and Finney, and Moody and the Wesley brothers, and down Alexander Dowie, down to John Lake, down to William Brannan, Smith Wigglesworth, and Hudson, and all of these different ones was a sign of the restoration. Then finally, in 1906, where a great sign of the restoration was on its way, when the Azusa Street Bible, one of the greatest revivals that shook the world. Before that came the Cane Ridge Bible Revival in Cane Ridge, Kentucky, 1879, around about. And then during the time of the Azusa Street in America that spread around the world, people from around the world came to a little place called Azusa Street in L.A., California, which was initially led by a man called Bishop William Seymour. And many other people were involved in it and bringing about this great move of the Holy Ghost. Three great revivals ushering in began to be signs of the restoration from 1906, 1879. Then we had the Wales Revival in 1906 too. And then in the 1960s, a great move of the Holy Ghost in the 1960s into Indonesia and certain parts of the earth. So here we are talking about Jesus said, the Elijah restoration movement, the time he will restore all things. Now, this restoration of all things is where a lot of people stumble at. Because today we hear great prophecy men and women who saying that all things being fulfilled, everything is fulfilled, and Jesus can come in a moment. Well, Jesus is coming, no doubt about it, very soon, but all things have not been fulfilled. Regrettably, even these great men and women, God, it's possible for them to be error and wrong about some prophecy, like all of us can be wrong. That's why we need to check and recheck and restudy and fast and seek the revelation of the Holy Spirit and wait until God gives us the clear, concise understanding instead of presume and assume. So here we are in the last stages when Jesus said, blow the trumpet in Zion. This is the last message of the midnight cry, Matthew 25, that shall be sounded in earth. But where is the midnight cry going to come? It's going to come from heaven because apparently the churches and Christianity is broken into different groups with Grifham doctrine. And so the final unifying message, Ephesians 4, he called new apostles, prophets, pastors, elders, intercessors in the last days to bring for the unification of his people on one rock, one foundation. Because in these days, the spirit of the Antichrist, the one world church, the false prophet, will be working to unite all Christians under the heirs of the false prophet in Revelation 13, 4, which is the Pope and Islam and Mormonism and all of this ism, Hinduism, Confucianism, that Satan will use to try to unite people under the false presumption that it's acceptable unto God. But then there'll be another move called the restoration, the true move of the Holy Ghost, what would send his angel, make the midnight cry, to unite Christianity under one true branch, the Church of Christ with Elijah Mitchell. Now, we don't say that we're the only people that God is with. Of course, that's really foolish. God is using the Holy Ghost. Jesus is using many people and visiting many people around the world and using them greatly and mightily. So we acknowledge that. Hallelujah. So I want to just share a couple of things when Jesus said about Matthew 20, the end time. He said it's going to be like Noah. The three things we must not forget about Noah's last message. Jesus said prior to coming is going to be similar like the days of Noah. Noah was a special prophet born to give the last message. Peculiar child, had peculiar birth, and he was ordained before he's born to be the man to bring deliverance to the earth in his day with a message of deliverance and building the ark of casting them over the destruction coming upon the earth. And as he preached the message of the last warning, Noah, and he preached the midnight cry, and he preached the last awakening and deliverance was a type and a symbol entering to the ark and to be delivered from the judgment coming in the earth. But only eight people, only Noah's family, hearkened unto the warning and entered into the ark and found deliverance when the earth was deluged with destruction and judgment because God could not tolerate the wickedness in the earth any longer. And so Noah preached 120 years and worked on the ark, and the door was closed. You know, and the time was up. The 12th hour had ended. And Noah had delivered the message. And Jesus says it's going to be similar, likened to the same event as he comes to the end. It's going to happen in the end time, just like those three events in Noah's day. Noah was a special prophet. And we don't say we have many prophets in the Bible, just like Elijah, the prophet, was the greatest day, and they say he had many prophets, but Elijah was the main prophet of Israel. In the day of Moses in Israel, they had prophets in the camp with Moses, but Moses was the head prophet that God had chosen to deliver the people. There's always, my God, I'm not saying we're only one, but there are many good prophets and good ministers, but God put special, unique calling upon certain people. It's always through the Bible, from Gideon, from Samson, from Joshua, Moses, Elijah, Elisha. You can go all the way through. And he chose 12 men, 12 apostles. And he's choosing 12 apostles now in these last days to establish his church with the same authority and power of Revelation 12. Revelation 12 is talking about his church being reestablished, the 12 bright stars, and the moon on her feet, and the sun over sign with the everlasting gospel. The 12 stars are the 12 apostles, the latter-day move of God, a reestablishing church anew. Now, I know you think that church has been here like it was in the book of Acts, but quite not right. So Daniel tells us in Revelation 13 how long this darkness period of the Christianity was going to happen for 1,260 years, a day for a year. Now, let's see. fast forward. Now we're nearing the 12th hour that Jesus taught about. The five virgins and the 10 virgins, five was foolish and five was unwise. They were foolish. Now, who is going to fall in the category of the foolish virgin, and who are the other half who are going to be considered the wise virgin who took oil with their lamps? Now, here's where the problem comes. The message that John on the Isle of Patmos gave says that the angel coming in Revelation 14:6-7, just before the end of the age, and he's going to blow a trumpet or give a message from heaven, a cry, just like Noah's, a special message, a special warning in preparation, Paul, during the days when restoration was took in the 1900s. So we're in that age and time when the restoration of all things, Jesus said in Matthew 17, Elias or Elijah shall first come and restore things. No, John the Baptist did not restore things in his day because there was nothing to restore, because it was not the days that Israel was going to be restored. It was not the days that the church was going to be restored, because the church had not been established then. So John the Baptist was not going to restore Israel, but he would turn their hearts back, but they didn't turn their hearts back in John the Baptist, only a few remnants. So John the Baptist did not fulfill in his first mission the hearts of the children, fully back to the Lord and the Father, to the children and children to the Father, because Israel killed Jesus and rejected him. So Israel did not turn back. So John the Baptist did not fulfill Elijah in that first coming, because Malachi 4 says the time of the restoration is going to be that dreadful day near the judgment when Jesus comes back, as in the days of Noah. That's what the dreadful day, like Noah, the judgment coming upon the earth, creeping the nations. That's when Elijah, or when the restoration, you'll know the signs of his coming, in the latter days, not 2,000 years ago. Jesus said Elijah has first come. Why? Yeah, they didn't recognize it, but he did not restore all things. Yes, he did come. John the Baptist had the spirit of Elijah on him, and he tried to turn the hearts of the people back to the Father, but they didn't really come. And he did not fulfill Elijah's final message, which is Malachi 4, the last day, which is the 12th hour, the midnight cry, like Noah made. The church has been existed for 2,000 years. For the end of this second day, Jesus is going to return. Hallelujah. I said, before the end of the second day, the church age moving out into the kingdom age, Christ is coming. But Elijah would play a message saying, the bridegroom is coming. Make ready, prepare. And Ephesians chapter 5 says, a holy church without spot or blemish, a holy habitation. Israel will be back in the land, 1948. Israel is restored after 2,500 years, like God promised. He restored Israel as a nation. He began to restore the church back to his home in the 1900s. I told you the signs of it. Cain Ridge Revival, down to men like Moody, Sunday, Spurgeon, Finney, Wesley, and just go on. Miss Wigglesworth, William Bramah, Jack, John Lake, and the Azusa Street Revival. Those were the signs of the beginning, moving from the Reformation to the Restoration. Moving from the Reformation of Martin Luther to the Restoration. Reformation is not the same thing as restoration of all things. Now, they are kindred, but it's not the same. They are kindred, but they're not the same. There's a different prophetic completion about restoration and restitution of all things. Revelation 14:6, an angel come every nation on the earth. Now that is, I've talked to many prophets and experts and asked them, when will Elijah restore all things? What will he restore? What time is he going to restore things? And what is he going to restore? And I just can't quite get a complete answer from any of most of the great prophecies of this day. I said, how can Jesus come back the second time when he said Elijah must first come and restore all things. And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all nations to the ends of the earth, the gospel of the kingdom. And the gospel of the kingdom is about restoring the full plan and the book of Acts ministry and the Revelation 14:6, the everlasting gospel in its fullness and pureness. The angel brings the everlasting gospel. This time there's going to be no apostasy like it was in the beginning of the church age, in the day of Pentecost, when they was overthrown and Herod overthrown the church and the Roman Catholic Church took its place, which is called the mother of harlots, the whore. She took its place for 1260 years, from 669 down to 1260 years. The angel with the trumpet in Revelation 14:6 and 18:1 is bringing light that filled the whole earth. Now, what is the light that can fill the whole earth? None other than the light that Jesus Christ preached, the everlasting gospel. Because there will be so many religions and doctrines in the earth. Do you know how many different nations and cultures and people in the earth and major religions that have swept the earth? Satan has confusion and division and derision and separation, even wars because of religion, wars and fighting because most of them are and evils of men. That's why the Lord chose Israel to represent the one true people with the true Lord, to represent the one true eternal God. Israel is the chosen people to reveal the true God to all the nations. And out of Israel comes Jesus Christ, who redeemed us and established his church in the last days. He said, on this rock I build my church, Matthew 6. And he said, I will build my foundation and my people upon a rock of who I am. And the rock is Jesus Christ. And if it's not built upon the teachings and the foundation of Jesus Christ, he said, it's not of me. Now ask yourself, are we fully built upon the rock? If all Christianity built fully on the rock, then why are they so divided in many areas? Are they built upon the sure foundation of Christ? Well, I think, no. Peter said it wouldn't be. Paul said there'd be a falling away, a heretic. Paul preached about the church was going to be overthrown. John of the Revelation said it's going to be overthrown and apostatized and doctrine. Revelation 12 says that the woman in Revelation 12 is the church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ being restored. The 12 stars are the apostles. No, the woman is not Mary. And I know, I'm sorry, but I don't want to be rude, but the woman in Revelation 12 is not Mary. And it's not the 12 tribes of Israel. That's past. The Old Testament is past. John on the Isle of Patmos, Mary was already dead when John saw that vision. Mary is not the head of the church like the Roman Catholic Church. See, the Roman, the false church, Mary is the head of the church. So Revelation 12 is talking about the true church. 13th chapter is talking about the false church, false Christianity, which is the head of it is the Roman Catholic Church, come out of Constantine in the Roman Empire. So the 12th chapter of Revelation said John was those things that was going to come to pass in the future. So it can't be Mary. Mary is already dead. She's not the woman. Israel is going to be scattered and broken. So the Revelation 12 could not be talking about Israel or Mary. The 12 stars are his church, his body. The gospel is the sun. The moon is the law. And the apostles that's over her are her officers. And elders and bishops, seniors, no archbishops, none of that. Oh, well. Well, I'm just, forgive me if you're hurt or you're wounded. You seem to be very abrasive. But I'm trying to tell you it's a wake-up call to all the earth. That's why the Revelation 18 at 1 said the light that this angel bring in Revelation 14 6 is going to lighten, go to all nations and enlighten all nations. It's the last move of Joel chapter 2. It said, wake, stand in the gap, make up the hedge. Call for the elders, praying, weeping in Zion. He's talking about the restoration of God's people, the restoration of Israel, the restoration of his church. and restoration of America, his chosen nation. The restoration of his broken branches of churches, whom the Pope will be trying to bring all churches under his realm, from Islam, from Hindu, from the Guru, from the Christianity. He's trying to bring all under his power now. Well, such the scriptures in the Holy Ghost and humility. Such the scriptures and compare and ask the Holy Spirit, or ask the people you're under who are enlightened, illuminated concerning those things. Elias, the word Elijah and the prophet, his day, he restored Israel to the true worship. You know what Elijah, the prophet, mainly did? He restored Israel to the true worship, to the one true God. What is the restoration in day? The first thing, destroy Israel as a nation and a people to Jesus as the Messiah and the gospel, and restore his church, his redeemed. Upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell not going to prevail. Now, she overthrew the church in the front, but she's not going to prevail. But Jesus is going to restore. The devil is not going to prevail, because God's going to restore her in power and glory. The woman in Revelation 12 and Ephesians 5, the bride made ready. Hallelujah. I said the bride made ready because the midnight cry sounded. It's a message of Noah was at midnight. And he labored strongly for the last cry of deliverance and hope in his day. He was raised up as that prophet, just like Moses was raised up that prophet to deliver Israel. And Jesus is not a prophet. He's a redeemer, the Son of God. He's the Messiah, so he's not a prophet. So the prophet can't die for us. Jesus was not a prophet because a prophet could not die, none of the prophets. So Jesus sent the prophet. He was the Word made flesh. He sent all the prophets, so he's not that prophet. But Elijah is that prophet, the last call. He's that special prophet. He's that prophet spoken by Moses that shall come, crying to him. All false religion, they try to make Jesus just a prophet. You know why they try to make Jesus a prophet? So they don't have to confess that he's the Son of God. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh is the Antichrist. See, all false religion, they can confess that he's the Son of God, conceived of the Holy Ghost, sinless, and the very Son of God, God in the flesh. They can't confess that. All false religion want to make him a prophet because the devil is slick. If you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, demons can't confess, false religion can't admit that Jesus was the Son of God who redeemed us by his death and his sin and bear our sins and iniquity. False religion can't. Not confess. All they can do is, well, he's the master and a good man and a prophet. They cannot confess what 1 Corinthians 12 says, 1 John 2 and 22 says. They cannot confess 1 John chapter 4, because the demons are false, author of all false religion and doctrine and devils in the earth. That's why false religion, they can only acknowledge Jesus and deceive that Jesus is a good man and that he was a prophet. They cannot confess that he's the very Son of God, the Redeemer, without sin, who redeemed us with his own blood and rose on the third day. All false religion cannot confess that he's the life and the resurrection, the bread of life. Islam can't confess that. They can't confess that. Hindu can't confess that. Buddhism can't kiss me there. Even Jehovah's Witness, they tap dance around that, but they really don't want to say that. The Mormons, they're deep in doctrine and deception and lies, and the head of the line is the Roman Catholic papacy. Like, they got many hundreds of people, good people, loving, caring people, just deceived and blindness, like we all were at one time. Now, this messenger in the last days that speaks, as in Noah's day, Jesus said, as in Noah's day, Noah's voice rang out. He was born as a special prophet. He had a special birth at his birth. The Bible doesn't give the history about a lot of stuff. The abridged version, the Bible does not give detailed history about Enoch and a lot of things. It doesn't give about the special calling of this man Noah. It only gives a certain part of it because we only have a abridged version. We don't have it totally. We don't only have it abridged version. That's why it's called abridged version. but it has the truth and the things of great, the most of the foundation. There's a lot of things people are stumbling over. That's why the last messenger, the everlasting gospel, brother, the everlasting God. Well, why you want to talk about that, brother? We're ready for the rapture. We all straight. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, I'm not going to debate on that. You think that you're all straight and you don't need the everlasting gospel restored. I'm going to go with the book. I'm going to believe what the book says. It ain't finished. It's not done. It's all scripture not filled. Jesus cannot come. I know the prophets expert greater. Great men of God and women, they can be in error in some areas. They're presumptuous. They don't get, everybody don't get, everything that they're saying is not direct revelation. It's assumptions. Some of it is assumption, presumption. I'm not going to say that I'm fault-free or I can't make an error. I'm not going to say such a thing. And none of the prophet experts, a great man, have great talent, great gifts, great deliverance. They can't speak complete perfect will of God in their thing because they don't have it. The line upon line, precept here and live, God will give in a dispensation to people. As he said in Isaiah, I'll reveal it, the plan of God. Here it is, line, here it, here it. And the last part of his plan, the midnight cry, the everlasting gospel is now coming in our day. Revelation 14, 6, Malachi said, just before we come, before that dreadful, awful day. We are now in approaching that day of Armageddon. We're in part of Armageddon right now. Many people don't know it. I know. They think Armageddon is one battle. Most people probably think that Armageddon is just one battle. But you do not know that everything has a beginning and an end. Before it can end, it has a beginning. And they don't tell you when does Armageddon begins. What time in the scripture, putting all scripture together, when does the day coming to the consummation of all things, the final battle, those in Jerusalem, but they don't tell you when it begins. It begins already. I said Armageddon has begun already. Ezekiel and Joel has spoken of, and Revelation, Armageddon has already begun because it has a lit of time called the world confusion, consuming the world in confusion, both religious, military, educational, and military and nation. And it's going to rent a time till we come to that final day and final battle over near Jerusalem when they come against the Jews and Jerusalem. That's when Jesus is coming with all his army, Revelation 14, Revelation 8, 19. Jesus is coming with all his army from heaven against the Antichrist spirit. Hallelujah. And the false church, and the mark of the beast. I'm not going to get into the mark of the beast now, even though the great tribulation has already begun, and they know it not. Hallelujah. Now, we have had one Roman Catholic president. First one was John F. Kennedy, 1963. I'm not going to get into the timetable of Daniel, what that means. The beast was in office. That means he was a good man, but he represents the beast, and the beast is the Roman Catholic papacy. Now we have Biden, president. He's done some good things, but he's under the beast because he represents in the Roman Catholic Church and Kabbalah Harris, I think, also. The beast, time of the beast. Beast represents that false an evil, pretended Christian head whom all nations look to the Pope and bow. They kiss his feet and recognize him as the false original of founders of Christianity. But he's the false, the deceiver. Now, the Antichrist is going to come. The Antichrist church is already here. But the Antichrist of himself, the false Christ, and the false church is going to be set up. And the one world church, we call it. And the mark of the beast. What is the mark of the beast? I'm not going to get onto the number of the mark of the beast now. Just like people don't know that Armageddon has already begun. The great tribulation is beginning. Hallelujah. Excuse me, and I don't apologize. Now listen. Elijah, that prophet, that Jesus, it never can be a prophet because Jesus himself was the word that created Did you know Jesus Christ came in this flesh as the Son of God, the Son of Man, the seed of David, to what? To redeem us from the curse of sin and death. He was the Word before he came flesh. John chapter 1. He was the Word made flesh. The Word that spoke to Moses, that was him. To all the prophets, who was that? That was the Word of the living God. That was Jesus before he became flesh. He was one with the Father. He was the Word. He spoke to all the prophets. He sent all the prophets. And he doesn't come here to be a prophet. Gabriel says that Jesus in chapter Matthew 1 and Luke chapter 1 and 2 is that Gabriel, the angel, said unto, he says, God with us, Emmanuel, the very Son of God, the Son of the Highest. He doesn't call him a prophet. He called John the Baptist the prophet. Because Jesus was never a prophet. And a prophet can't redeem us. Can't deliver. All the great prophets could not redeem us. None could die. None could shed their blood. They're under the cursed sin of Adam. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. I said, Jesus, this is what all false religions cannot accept. They cannot confess that he was virgin born, conceived by the Holy Spirit. Any of these religions of the world, well, we don't believe in the Son of God came to redeem us on the cross of Calvary. They can't accept that. See, that's why they fall into the anti-Christ spirit, because they can't accept Jesus Christ, confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh as the Son of God to redeem all mankind. Can't confess it. All false religion, they can acknowledge Jesus as a good man, as a master. That's the deceiving power. Just like the Roman Catholic Church and the Pope claim, but they actually worship Mary. They pray to her and to Peter and all the rest of them and the Pope. It's Babylon. We're looking at Babylon, spiritual Babylon. And those who are attached to her. And the second one, the greatest one, is Islam. They're the largest. Hinduism, Buddhism, Scientology, and One World Church and Commune Church and the Greek Orthodox, all, but they got many millions of good people in there. Many wonderful, loving, caring people. Jehovah's Witness, Mormonism. They got to be redeemed in this last day and delivered by the everlasting gospel and the blood, the power of the blood of Jesus, and the power of the Holy Ghost, power of the Holy Spirit. The third wave, the third revelation of the Holy Spirit, come out of these false religions. Jesus is going to visit many of the Islam people because they are of Abraham. He's going to visit Esau because they have come out of Abraham. He's going to visit them. Just like the Jews who call themselves Jews in Jerusalem, all Israel is not Jews. All Jews are not Israel. The 12 tribes of Israel have not been gathered. But Jews as a whole, a few of the tribes have been established again in Jerusalem, just like Daniel the prophet says. And they won the Six-Day War, 1967. Daniel's prophecy was fulfilled, the 2,300 days exactly. Now, there's some things that God put exact time table on, but he doesn't give us the day or the year that Jesus is going to return. Nobody knows the day or the year. No one is given the day or the year that Christ shall return. He doesn't say we can't know the time or the season. He said we can't know the day or the year. Hallelujah. So you can say that he's going to come in 1980. You can't know that. And he's going to come in 1980. Those are presumption of people in prophecy who work out with numbers and say, well, he's going to come by 1980. He's going to come in 1984. He's going to come 19. Then he's going to come in the year 2000. You see, he didn't come. They were in error. I didn't say they were false prophets. They just made some presumptions on some things in prophecy. They made mistakes and error and presumptions. Hallelujah. What can you say, mind to Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the Holy One of Israel, risen from the dead with complete victory? Are we living in the last hour, the last generation? Jesus said, Matthew 24, he said, you want to know, said, remember Noah. And then he said, remember Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember the warning came to deliver Lot and to bring him out of that to a place of refuge. Now notice what it did. It brought him out and go to a city of refuge. Now, I know a lot of people think Enoch was caught up before Noah's judgment hit the earth, and he was delivered, and his people were delivered and caught up. Enoch, the church is going to be escape the judgment like in Noah's day. Many people believe that. But I'm not going to get into it because that's not going to be. Hallelujah. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, it's going to occur like manner. Look at the three things about Noah. Three important points, like unto Noah. The last warning and last message, last awakening, and the last great, mighty outpouring of spirit, greater going to be the first, it's going to be greater than the first Pentecost. It's going to be greater than the second Pentecost. The third Pentecost is going to be greater than Elijah saying, give me a double portion. Elijah says to Elijah, give me a double portion. Well, the church is going to get double, triple portion these last days, the bride made ready. Hallelujah. Well, Noah's cry was midnight. The door was shut after 120 years of preaching and building. How long is this last cry before Jesus comes? Well, I don't have time to get into that table and patterns we have in the scriptures because the Lord used patterns, principle and patterns, all the way through scriptures. Follow a principle and a pattern of numbers and times. Daniel gives us some particular dates, 1260 days, 2300 days, and 1335 days. Now, when are those dates? We know for sure that Daniel's prophecy was fulfilled, the 2300 days in Daniel were fulfilled in 1967 when Israel won the Six-Day War. Hallelujah. Yeah, we're. So now, what about 1260 days already fulfilled, 2300 days of Daniel already fulfilled, now left Daniel's prophecy about the 1335 days. Wow. No man can know the day or the hour that Jesus returned, but we can know all the other things, the signs, the mysteries of Paul said he come to unveil all the mysteries in Ephesians 2 and 3, the thing that had been hid from the foundation of the world. Now we're living in the day of Daniel prophecy. All these things are unveiling. He said, Daniel, hold these things, but in a lot of days, they're going to be unfolded. They're going to be revealed. We're in that time where all the mysteries are being revealed and hidden in the scripture. Hallelujah. Now the revelation, Jesus said, I testify. In the 22nd chapter of Revelation, he said, I sent my angel to testify. All the way through the Revelation, you see angels from the 4th chapter all the way to the 22nd chapter. You see nothing but angels appearing to John. Nothing but angels. Hallelujah. There's a reason for that. The pattern of God, of Yahweh, the God of Israel, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, giver of the Holy Spirit, and the blood of the New Testament, and the new covenant of the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Hallelujah. Blessed be our God and our rock, and my salvation. Looking for the coming of the Lord, but all things are not fulfilled. We're to stay ready, to live ready, to be ready every day. We're to walk ready, live ready, be ready, be prepared every day. We may leave here, but Jesus Christ is not coming until all things are fulfilled concerning his second coming. I understand that a lot of the great prophecy experts said all things are fulfilled. Well, I'm going to stick with the word, what I know. I can only speak what I know. I'm not going to debate with anyone. I'm going to say what I understand, what I know. Then there's the area where I believe. Three areas. I believe, I know, and I understand. From the Lord. One area I believe. The other areas I know. That means you receive direct indication from the Lord, from the Holy Spirit. And now I understand and build up on the rock of his truth. Because some things you believe, but you don't have the light on it, truth on it. So you say, I believe this. Hallelujah. Traditions are passed on from generation to generation, and each church group has some good truth, but they also have some traditions of men. You cannot hardly go to a church called this Christianity that don't have some traditions. Some have error, and a few have some false prophecy. Well, brother, you could have some. That's true. But I'm telling you to test these things and search these things down in Scripture to see whether they be so. Go to the prophet. The Bible said in what? Isaiah 8:20, if they speak not to the law and the prophet, because there's no truth in it. 1 John 2:22, confess not Jesus as the Son of God, that he's God in the flesh, then they're the Antichrist, anti-gospel. Read it for yourself. I didn't say that. Don't get mad at me. 1 John 4 says, many prophets in the world, he said, test every prophet by the scriptures, by the law, by the prophet, by Jesus and the apostles, test them by the Holy Ghost, test them by the blood and the resurrection, and what Jesus has said, I am the Alpha and Omega, because Jesus' teaching is the last word on everything. I'm the Alpha and Omega. That means I got the final, the first, and the last final say-so. Jesus appeared on the Olivet Mount to Revelation to John the Apostle, the one that did not die. John, beloved, did not die. Hallelujah. That's what I believe. Now you don't get upset with me. I'm going to say I got the reason the scriptures believe that John, the apostle, did not die on the Isle of Patmos. Part of my, I believe. Hallelujah. And I got some evidence to say that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm in this flesh, and I'm not infallible like the Pope on certain things. I'm not going to lie and say I can't make a mistake. I'm not going to say even my church in it has completely put on the whole armor and the bride of the Lamb. Even we have not put in certain areas. We have matured. Even though we have the revelation of truth, we have not obeyed fully to come to the full measure of Christ yet. And he's going to give a people another remnant in these last. A remnant is going to come to the full measure of Christ, Ephesians 4. They're going to come to the unity of the faith and the full measure of the Son of God. Hallelujah. And you see the outpouring of the Holy Ghost around the nations, the world now. It's beginning to sprinkle. They haven't got the fullness yet. But many are experiencing the book of Acts. The people having their legs restored, their eyeballs restored, kidneys restored, or people even being raised from the dead in certain places in South America, Central America, and Africa. Certain people, few people are being raised from the dead. Not so much in America. A few places in America has had it. Few people have been raised from the dead in America. Hallelujah. Yes, I've talked to a couple of people that have been raised from the dead. I know you don't believe it. I know. Yet you say you believe all God's word and all gospel, and that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You'll get up and say, yeah, he's the same yesterday, today. Well, what did he do yesterday? Can he do it today? Well, yeah, he did it yesterday, but you just got said, I believe, what Hebrews chapter 13 said, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi said, I'm God, I change not. Well, you said, well, I don't know about, I'm talking about yesterday. Well, then you don't believe the scripture. You just believe what he did yesterday. He can't do it today. What he said in the 11th chapter of Mark, in the 9th chapter of Mark, all things are possible to them believe. All things are possible. Whatever I said in that scripture, in that gospel, all things are possible to them that believe it. Believe it, all things are possible, he says. Wow. He walked up to Lazarus' grave, his sepulcher. Lazarus dead 4 days. He stinks by now. And Jesus said to Mary Martha, did not say, only believe. Yes, I know, but. Jesus said, I am the life and the resurrection. Wow. No, he didn't say he was a prophet, even though they thought he was a prophet. But he said, I'm the life and the resurrection. That's John 11. No other religion can say that. No other guru, prophet can say that in the word of religion. I am the life and the resurrection. And he calls Lazarus from the dead as a sign to the whole world. This man was 4 days in a sweltering heat climate, dead stinking. So here we are. The Everlasting Gospel, Brother Lee, signing off. Glad to talk about the messenger of the coming to come in these last days. Didn't get a chance to read the words that he brings. But tomorrow night at the same time, we'll go into the messenger of the coming, the angel, the cry in these last days. Love your saints. Give your heart to Jesus. Follow the Lamb of God. Call upon him now. He will save you. Said, Jesus, save me a sinner. Deliver me. Heal me and set me free. In Jesus' name. Brother Lee signing off. See you tomorrow at 7. God bless you.